probably just a couple of people in this room who know that I worked in the candy business for like 25 years. I was an employee of Nestle for a couple of years. I was a consultant to Nestle for 25 plus years probably. Cadbury, then Peter Paul Mounds, Almond Joy, those things. We had a lot of free candy. I worked for Brock's, you know, here in Chicago years ago. And let's just say at Halloween time, people knew we had a very busy house at Halloween. Because my office was in Chicago, was next to the guy who was the manager of theater candy. So he always had those big boxes of Goobers, Raisinets, and snow caps. Remember a snow cap? So I would bring home cases of full size, you know, and these kids would come ringing the bell, and we always had lots of candy. I remember one time we went on a vacation somewhere, and the kids didn't go with us, and we had a refrigerator in the basement. I think my mother and your mother were there, and we came home, and we used to keep all this chocolate in the refrigerator in the basement, and the kids had gotten into the chocolate. Grandmas didn't know because they were upstairs, and we came downstairs when we got home. There was wrappers everywhere, so it's kind of an interesting thing when you work for a candy company, because we just had lots of candy. And anyways, so this morning we're continuing our summer series with Jesus at the Movies, and we're going to consider the 1994 film. I'm assuming most of you have seen Forrest Gump with Tom Hanks. You know all about that. What's the famous line? There you go. Everybody knows that. It's amazing. It's like, where's the beef? You know, it's kind of one of those things everybody remembers. So I figured I'd start talking about candy. And we got a couple kinds of candy here. This is Fannie Mae. Anybody like Fannie Mae? Good stuff. And it's the real deal. This isn't like plastic. Those are, for those sitting up front, you know, you might get some. So we have the chocolate, and some of you, I kind of like Fannie Mae. I'm from Chicago, but if you're from the West Coast, See's is really popular, I think. I mean, you can buy it here, I think, on Ogden Avenue by Trader Joe's, but some people like See's. And then we have that Russell Stover's, and I think they have the roadmap in the box, but we're not going to have a roadmap because that would detract from the message. So I figured we'd start talking about candy. So when you look at this candy, what do you think? Good? This is good candy, yeah, Fannie Mae. Then I brought some other candy. And I think I brought, this is my favorite candy, Raisinets, chocolate-covered raisins, okay? Milk Duds, anybody with the Milk Duds? York Peppermint Patties? We keep them in the freezer, the little ones. I like them that way. Greg Kaplan taught me that. We got, I believe, Susan's favorite, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Nestle Crunch, paid a lot of our bills. The Crunch Bar, we've got Almond Joy. You like those? Milky Ways. Baby Ruth. Used to be Butterfinger, Baby Ruth were together. They were owned by Curtis Candy in Chicago, but then Nestle bought them. And so we've got Butterfinger and Baby Ruth. And not one of my favorites, Mr. Goodbar. Anybody like Mr. Goodbars? Yeah. Chocolate, peanuts. Mounds, that's like decaf coffee. It's like, why eat it without the almonds? So. Payday, you know? All right, Payday. Another couple of my favorites. You prefer the peanut, Amber? Okay. Maybe we'll save one for you, Amber, if you don't give me too much trouble today. Oh, 100 grand. That's a Nestle bar, too. Used to be called the $100,000 bar back in the day. Skittles, not chocolate, but a lot of kids like Skittles. I like Skittles. You like those? Okay. And we got a few more. Hershey's, the old favorite, World War II, I think. Almond or plain. Again, why eat the plain? Butterfinger cups. So we've got a whole plethora. Hershey's, this is cookies and cream. See, I work for Nestle. Hershey was like the evil rival, so we never ate that. And then last but not least, another one of Susan's favorites, I believe, is Kit Kat bars. Well, Snickers is, that's M&M Mars, and we were Nestle, so. I live in Indiana. This is all we got, you know? I was actually looking, they don't even sell Nonpareils anymore. I was kind of surprised. I'm not sure why. Zagnut, the Zagnut bar. And what about those Necco wafers? I don't know what those were about. Not my favorite. So what's the big difference between these? Some might say this is better than this in terms of quality, right? Fannie Mae? More expensive, yeah. But anybody allergic to nuts? Nobody, but some people are. Nobody in this room is, but we have people who are allergic to nuts, so they're probably not going to go with the Payday bar because it's filled with nuts, but they know that it's filled with nuts because it's a peanut caramel bar, so they're not going to go with nuts. They're not going to go with peanut butter. So if you're allergic to that, there's some people, where did they go? Allergic to coconut. So if you're allergic to coconut, you're not going to pick up the Mounds bar. You're not going to pick up the Almond Joy bar. And then we have a friend, she's been here many times, Julene, and she's allergic to chocolate, but she can eat white chocolate. So she wouldn't eat any of these. I mean, we go out and she always has to have white chocolate if she gets something. So, and personally, I mean, let's see. There's really not too many things there's nothing I wouldn't eat here. I like these a lot too with the movies, I don't know. Probably my least favorite would be Mr. Goodbar. I mean, he's just not my favorite guy. But, so there's not too many things I wouldn't like to eat here. Now in this box, now this is, I assume, a 1 pound box, I kind of have an idea what some of them are, but I really am not sure, okay? So if I was highly allergic to peanuts, I'd probably go with the Milky Way because I know there's no peanuts. I might pick something with peanuts here and I might get sick. Yeah, you could test. But, so there's something about, this is the unknown, although we perceive it as better. This is the known. Maybe we don't perceive that as the highest quality. I really don't like those chocolate-covered cherries. I'm sorry if you do, but you know, those cherries where you bite into them and all this stuff comes out. Not my favorite thing. And I don't like creams. I'll throw them out. I just don't like cream candy. So, but like, I'm sure that's a turtle there. I like those turtles. So if I had to choose, I'd go with the Sure Thing. But it's kind of like, the Sure Thing is not how life is. And if you remember in Forrest Gump, that's what kind of the movie's all about. And Susan's reminded me that I said this before, but it's my mother and it's her, one of the old Yiddish sayings. It's like man plans and God laughs, you know. We have these plans, what we're going to do. I have my list. Every day I have a list. This is my list, God, you know. And it's like, could you like make it happen, you know. So man plans, God laughs. And it's, if you Google it up, there's all kinds of folklore about it. But if you read Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a person's life, but it's the Lord's purpose to prevail. So we have our ideas, he has his ideas. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this day and we just know that you have plans for each of our lives. You have plans for us for today, for tomorrow, and into the future. And help us to have our plans just line up with your plans, Lord, that we might be doing your will while we're here. Amen. So, Russ, if you're ready, I'm going to go way back to the book of Exodus. That's way Old Testament, with the first verse from Exodus 4:10. If you remember, this is where Moses and God are kind of having this discussion, and Moses says to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will help, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, excuse me, Lord, pardon me. Could you send somebody else? You know, it's like, I really don't want to do this. If you read beyond that, God's not too happy with Moses here. God wanted Moses to really do what he said, and it's kind of like I would say with a lot of us, you know, God calls us to things or God wants us to do things, and we have other ideas. So, but if you know the rest of the story, God prevails, Moses accomplishes his task, and we move on. So we go back to this man plans and God laughs, this concept. We see the little picture, you know, we see our little snapshot of the world, God sees the big picture. We see the problem of trying to do something, God sees the glory. We see the obstacles, God sees the finish line. Kind of going back to the movie thing, we see the little clip of the movie, God sees the big picture of the movie. We say no, God says why not. So when I was a kid, it's not that long ago, how many of you wore braces? Okay, I wore braces. Now the kids nowadays, they don't know. When I wore braces, I used to go to Dr. Feldstein. Figure that out, you know. I was like 10 or 12 years old probably, and you have to go every month, and oh, I used to hate going, and you'd come home, and I would cry, my jaw would hurt because they would tighten the wires, and then they would like, I remember I used to have like a screwdriver when I came home to try to tuck the wires in, because they would be poking in your teeth, in your lips and your gums. It was terrible. So it's a little bit easier now. I understand they have these really cool braces, and you know, they're kind of pain-free, but not like they were back in the day. But probably if I had my choice, now I'm glad I wore them. You know, I have pretty decent teeth, but back then, if I could have got out of it, I would have got out of it. I used to wear, we have some funny videos of me with glasses. I used to have these big glasses until I had cataract surgery, and now I just need reading glasses, Amber, that I left down there. So, how many of you wear glasses? Okay, so probably if you could choose, you'd choose not to. Maybe you'd get contacts. I couldn't even imagine putting a contact lens in my eye, but that's just for me. And also, when I was growing up, probably not too many of you did this, but I used to have to wear orthopedic shoes, and I hated these orthopedic. They were ugly. They had like 8 holes on each side, and they were black, and I don't know. They were supposed to be helpful. I'm not sure why I wore them, but maybe it was my parents just punishing me or something. And the kids used to make fun of me. You know, I mean, there was this other kid, Ira, in my school, and he wore them, and he walked really. He had a problem, and he kind of dragged his feet. He wore these ugly shoes, and I had to wear these ugly shoes. So, and I didn't really like wearing them. I don't know if they helped or not, but if I had my choice, I wouldn't have worn them. I would have wanted to worn whatever the fashionable thing was back in the day. So, a lot of times we're born and we have things that affect us that we don't have much choice over. So let's take a look at the first clip with Forrest Gump. This is a... So poor Forrest has to wear these leg braces. I love how compassionate she is in the doctor's office when he falls. You think she'd jump up, and my doctor doesn't smoke, at least around me, I don't think. So, and then... But do you think Forrest would have chosen to wear those leg braces? I don't think so. And I guess the big thing, because I can remember, back in the day we didn't call it bullied, we call it teased, but you think he got teased? You think like at school, like people, you know, the kids were really nice. Oh, hi Forrest, you know, so happy to see you. But I don't think so. I think he was teased, I think he was bullied, and I think he would have done anything to get out of wearing the leg braces. So let's see what happens. See if it's really true. Russ? So Forrest isn't the brightest light on the tree, as we might say. They said he has an IQ of about 75. There's another scene that I can't show, thank you, Russ, about how he gets into school. But he can run. He had these leg braces, but the braces comes off and he can run. And he ends up going to college, believe it or not. Probably not because he was a great student, but because he was a great runner, and he had a football scholarship, and he graduates from college, and I think it took him 6 years, though, but he graduates from college, and then he goes to Vietnam. And in Vietnam, many of us grew up, I remember coming home from school and watching Vietnam on television. It was not a great time for this country, but there's another scene that I cannot play for you. But if you remember, his good friend Sinise is Lieutenant Dan, and Lieutenant Dan is his like platoon leader, and they're in Vietnam, and I just remember it's been raining for like 3 months, you know, the monsoon season, and then they're walking on patrol, they're carrying their guns, and he says, all of a sudden, God turned off the rain, and the sun comes out, and then all of a sudden, they're under attack. Enemy fire, his platoon is pinned down, and all he remembers is his Jenny, that's the little girl, became his kind of his girlfriend, the love of his life. She always told him, whenever anything happens, run, Forrest, run. Sort of like the box of chocolates. That's the other key line in the movie. So Lieutenant Dan is telling his people to fall back, fall back. And so Forrest starts running. And he's running. And then he's like, but his good friend Bubba's, he's looking for Bubba because that's his good friend. And he's very loyal to his friend. He goes back. And when he's looking for Bubba, he finds another one of his comrades, Tex, who's been hit. Puts Tex on his shoulder. He runs him out to the landing point where the helicopter's going to come in to evacuate him. Goes back, Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. And then he runs into this guy. I believe the guy's name is Cleveland, although it says he's from Cincinnati. But he's shot. He's laying on the ground. He picks him up, and he comes running out. But he goes back again for Bubba. And then he finds Bubba, and he brings Bubba out, and he puts him on the ground. They're waiting for the helicopter. And then he goes back in and he finds Lieutenant Dan, his commanding officer, his good friend, and Lieutenant Dan is shot up really bad. And he's on the radio, you know, screaming for air support. And he's telling Forrest Gump, just go, leave me. This is my destiny. I'm supposed to die here. And Forrest is like, no, can't leave you. Picks him up, takes him out. Story moves on. Bubba unfortunately dies. Lieutenant Dan, his good friend, loses both his legs. So now he's a double amputee from above the knee. And I'll bet you, I don't know where that phrase comes, dollars to donuts, but donuts to dollars, whatever. Lieutenant Dan wouldn't have chose to have his legs blown off. So here's this young man. He's probably 25, 30 years old. He was this Army officer. He comes back from Vietnam, like many people. And he's missing both his legs. And I'm sure he wouldn't have chose that. And I know some of your stories out there, not familiar with everybody, but I know some of your stories. And I think a lot of the chapters in not just your life, my life, you know, if we could change them, we'd probably want to change them. Things like unemployment or divorce or a disability or addiction or cancer or car accidents or burying a child, disease, you can go on. There's a whole host of unwanted chapters in each of our lives. In other words, if we had to choose, we wouldn't choose cancer, probably choose the Kit Kat bar if we had the choice. So 4 weeks ago, I officiated a funeral for a 25-year-old young man. Natural causes he died of. Less than 3 years ago, I was involved in doing the funeral for his stepfather who had committed suicide. And I know that I opened the service. There was hundreds of people there. I opened the service, and I said, we all have one thing in common. None of us wants to be here. I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. But we're here to support the family. Kind of like Moses, you know, if I could have opted out, hey, God, can we get out of this one? Can you pass the cancer on to somebody else? Because I sure don't want it. So for maybe, I don't know, the past 20 years or so, Paul's really good with dates. He's always like in 1987, you know, I have no recollection back. I know it was a long time ago, for maybe 20 years. I've had the privilege to pray with many sick people at many hospitals. I look around the room, some of you are here, you know. I've seen my share of pain and suffering, particularly at Elmhurst Hospital and Good Sam, but mainly at Elmhurst, where I was a volunteer chaplain there for a few years. And I've discovered over the years that there's kind of two directions people take when the bad things happen. One of the directions, and also the family members too. I was always taught when I was at Elmhurst, the head guy there, the chaplain said, he says, Mike, when you go into a room and it's only the patient, he says, it's easy. You can just talk with the patient. He says, but add a family member, add a second, add a third, add a fourth. It gets really complicated. It's like a minefield. So be careful when you do that. But So you go into these rooms and you see people who have, you know, problems. And they can take it one of two ways. The one way, the good way, is I think they're loving, they're compassionate, they're thankful, those types of people. Some of you know them. And then there's the other types of people, that they're just bitter and they're mean and they're angry and they're hateful. You get the idea. Kind of two choices. You know, the same type of problem, cancer, whatever it might be, but two different reactions to it. So, in the next scene, which you can't see, right, Russ? No. The next scene of the movie is Forrest Gump. He catches up with his friend Lieutenant Dan, Gary Sinise, and Lieutenant Dan's living in this dingy little apartment in Times Square in New York, and he's in a wheelchair. He's missing both his legs, and he is one angry alcoholic. He is not happy, and he's really angry with God. And we couldn't play the clip because Russ would have to mute every word out, I think. So Lieutenant Dan is giving God a piece of his mind about what's happened to him and the loss of his legs. And he's giving Forrest a piece of his mind, and he's telling him about the, you know, I go to the alcoholic program or the VA program, and they tell me to accept Jesus and you'll go to heaven and stuff like that. And he's ranting and raving, and he's really given Forrest a very difficult time. And Forrest just says to him, very calmly, he says, Lieutenant Diane, I'm going to heaven. Just like that. That's the end of the scene. Like Lieutenant Dan losing his legs, most of us have things in our lives that we would not have chosen. Maybe you have an abusive mother, maybe an abusive father, maybe your over-friendly uncle. You know, back in the day we had those friendly uncles. I can go on and on, but I think you all get the idea. You all have your own personal loss of your legs, whatever that might be. Probably more than just one thing. But it's not what you got, it's not what you get, it's not what you received. The real point is how do I react? Do I react like Lieutenant Dan with anger and bitterness, or do I act in the other way? So if you remember in Genesis in 37, Joseph, he didn't get treated too well by his brothers. I mean, they were like stripping him down, throwing him in a well or a cistern, and they were going to kill him, and, you know, all kinds of nasty stuff. But at the end of that story, Joseph forgives them. He could have been very bitter. He could have been angry. You know, why did this? You're my brothers. You're not supposed to do this. Why does this happen? And then here we go with my favorite three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? The king wanted them to worship the golden idol, and they said no. And he said, okay, so the furnace for you. Not only is it the furnace, we're going to heat it 7 times hotter than it normally is, and you're going to jump in the furnace. You know the story. They're like dancing around praising God. They don't get burned. Any of you in a hot place right now? Maybe you got a job that, maybe you don't have a job and you need the job, or maybe you've got a job that you hate, or maybe there's a relationship that's gone south, a marriage that's gone sour, a boss you'd like to, you know, do something to. How are you reacting to it? That's the big question. How do you react? I know I've heard Paul many times up here and over the years say, you know, this Christian thing, this isn't like a bulletproof vest, you know. It's like, I'm a Christian, well, I'm protected now, you know. No, you're going to have trouble. If you don't have it today, you'll have it tomorrow. I pretty much guarantee it. So it's not will I have trouble, it's when will I have trouble. And then the big question is so how do you react? So you remember Jesus? That's kind of why we're here, our Savior. He demonstrates the ultimate answer to reaction. And if Russ, can you bring that up? Remember, this is a man who's beaten, spit on, brutalized. He's being crucified on the cross. And we have this verse from Luke. Well, how does Jesus react? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then they divide up his clothes. I mean, thank you, Russ. If If it were me, I'd be just a touch bitter, you know? I mean, you beat me up and you stripped me of my clothes, you got me hanging on a cross. Those probably wouldn't be my words. And I guess they probably would not be yours either. So, but this bitterness is a very dangerous thing. Google's a great thing, you know? You can, 80 references to bitterness at least in the Bible. And you know what? I didn't read all 80 of them. I did read a bunch of them. I bet you I read 20 of them. Not one of them's good. You know, no matter what chapter you read it in, bitterness is not a good thing. So if you're bitter about something, you're harboring this bitterness, it's not good. You need to let it go. My favorite verse about dealing with bitterness is from James. Do we have that one, Russ? Okay. This is James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Kind of a good way to deal with bitterness. So back to the movie. So Forrest Gump, basically he can run fast, and he's not the brightest light on the tree. He did go to college. He serves in Vietnam. You know, he's got kind of a funny way of speaking. He does win the Medal of Honor because he went back and saved four of his comrades under fire. He goes to the White House, I believe, in three different places in the movie. He meets John F. Kennedy, Richard Nixon, and Gerald Ford at the White House. One of the things he likes about the White House is they have all kinds of snacks, anything you want. He likes Dr. Pepper because he's from the South, and he drank like 12 Dr. Peppers. And it was, go back and watch the movie again. It's pretty funny. And the other thing he was good at, anybody remember? Ping pong, you're right. And he goes to China back when going to China was not like, you know, we went to China some years ago. It wasn't cool back then. It was during the Cold War. Well, he went to China, and he represented the United States in ping pong, and he was a great ping pong player. So he can run. What's that? Play football and play ping pong. That's kind of his three things that he's got. But he also becomes very successful because his friend Bubba talked to him and he gave him his mother's name or something, and he looks her up and he learns all about the shrimping business. And him and Lieutenant Dan, believe it or not, hook up and they get this very successful shrimp company going, and they have 12 boats, and he gets stock in Apple Computer. He says, I got stock in this fruit company, you know, and they said, I don't have to worry anymore about money. So it's like very interesting how that worked out for him. But so he's financially very successful, but if you remember his mother, Sally Fields, she was at the beginning getting him the braces, his beloved mother, who he respected and adored, she's dying. And let's take a look at this final clip, Russ. So we have our dreams and plans for our lives, and God has his dreams and his plans for our lives. And I think the longer we live, we discover that we don't always get to choose what we get, what we want. Sometimes I get to perform a marriage ceremony, other times I get to do the funeral. When I was a hospital chaplain, it's kind of interesting doing that because I'd be in patients' rooms and they'd be taking literally their last breaths, you know, it'd be a very sad time. And then I'd walk out of there and go to OB-GYN to the nursery, and there's babies crying. And like from the saddest to the happiest. Two people receive the cancer diagnosis, only one gets the cure. Sometimes I get lucky and I get the raisinettes. She gives them to me. Other times, you know, I get those chocolate covered cherries. I don't like them. Or the creams. Either way, I alone, you alone, each of us, we just have the choice. How do we react to what we get? How do we react to the piece of candy we get, or to what life dishes out? Bitterness, like Lieutenant Dan, or bitterless. Ungrateful or grateful. Unforgiving, maybe forgiving. And then thankless, or maybe you're thankful. Kind of the same words, just different endings. How do we react? Because we don't have a choice to what we get. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God of many blessings and that you see the bigger picture and we only see the little picture. Help us to react the way you would have us react to whatever situation we're in, whatever our circumstance, whatever it might be, that we would react similar to your son Jesus on the cross, who said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do." We ask all of this in your name.